Please turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. You'll find Romans chapter 3 on page 941 in the Pew Edition Bible. Romans chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 19, and we'll read through chapter 4, verse 8. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We read this in connection with our ongoing study of the Belgic Confession of Faith. I invite you to turn with me in your blue Psalter hymnals to these pages in the back where you'll find the Belgic Confession of Faith. The pages in the back of the blue Psalter hymnal, we'll be looking at page 79, article 22. We believe that the Belgic Confession is a faithful summary of the teachings of Scripture. This evening we look at Article 22, which is titled, Our Justification Through Faith in Jesus Christ. Article 22 in Roman numerals, that is XXII, at the bottom of the page there. We'll be reading this together, corporately, as our confession of faith together. And so let us say together, we believe that to attain the true knowledge of this great mystery, the Holy Spirit kindles in our hearts an upright faith, which embraces Jesus Christ with all his merits, appropriates him, and seeks nothing more besides him. For it must needs follow either that all things which are requisite to our salvation are not in Jesus Christ, or if all things are in him, then those who possess Jesus Christ through faith have complete salvation in him. Therefore, for any to assert that Christ is not sufficient, but that something more is required besides him, would be too gross a blasphemy, for hence it would follow that Christ was but half a Savior. Therefore, we justly say with Paul that we are justified by faith alone, or by faith apart from works. However, to speak more clearly, We do not mean that faith itself justifies us, for it is only an instrument with which we embrace Christ our righteousness. But Jesus Christ, imputing to us all his merits and so many holy works which he has done for us and in our stead, is our righteousness. And faith is an instrument that keeps us in communion with him in all his benefits, which, when they become ours, are more than sufficient to acquit us of our sins. Let us pray. Our Father, as David wrote in Psalm 32, how blessed are we whose sins are forgiven, we who are covered in the righteousness of Christ. Our Father, we thank you that this is the promise that is ours in Jesus Christ, that we are justified in him, we are set free in him, we are washed and redeemed in him by grace through faith. And so, our Father, we pray that as we think of these things together tonight, you would work in us by your Holy Spirit a faith that lays hold of these truths, that receives this gift and celebrates the grace that is ours. We pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Beloved, one of the most misunderstood elements of Christianity is the idea of faith. One popular talk show host holds a regular show that they call Super Soul Sunday. I still haven't decided if that title is very clever or very cringy, but it's called Super Soul Sunday, and it's all about bringing people together to have conversations about faith and belief. And I'm not here to just knock that show. I mean, they actually get very fascinating people to come have these discussions. And some counselors that I respect have been on the show, and they say interesting, important things. And then I'm put in the awkward position of buying a book that has this big sticker featured on Super Soul Sunday on the cover, and I feel really weird when I buy it. But the host of this show, as they're talking about faith, as they're talking about belief, has defined faith in this way. And this is a quote from a video. The ability to be fully present and have something you can trust this moment and the next moment and the next moment, faith is that ability. So that's what our culture is being told faith is. And if you pay attention, you can see that this is not just the opinion of one random talk show host. This is how the word faith is being used all over the place. Faith is a feeling. Faith is an ability you have inside of you. The other day, I saw a scented candle just labeled faith. It was meant to smell like the feeling of faith. Faith is an ability. It's a practice. It's an idea. It's a trust in something to get you through your day. What you'll notice about all these definitions, and if you listen to interviews and discussions, no one ever talks about what your faith is in. What matters in this view is that you just trust something. The something that you trust in doesn't matter. It just matters that you trust it, that you have faith. What matters is your ability to find calm and peace and mindfulness through this faith. This is an example of what philosophers today are calling the democratization of religion. Centuries ago, if you look at politics, most governments were monarchies. They were top-down governments. And then starting with the Enlightenment, you had the American Revolution, the French Revolution. Governments have been shifting towards a more democratic way of doing things, by the people, for the people, bottom up. Now, philosophers and sociologists are saying the same thing is happening to religion. Various articles in newspapers and scholarly journals have called for us to remake our faith, declaring that, quote, top-down religion is over. Religion is no longer about, quote, teaching, doctrine, scripture, or ritual. It is a do-it-yourself spiritual journey. The word belief nowadays simply means your opinion. The word faith simply means your experience or your trust. It doesn't matter what that trust is in. That's the way religion works now. But the news I have to tell you, and this won't come as a surprise, is that Christianity is not a religion. That is, it's not human beings' attempt to find peace or to bring order or to fix ourselves or to work our way up to God. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is the gospel. And the gospel is the statement of this good news that God has come to us because we couldn't reach to him. Religion is humankind's attempt to reach the divine. The gospel is the story of gracious God reaching and rescuing human beings and a world that was lost and hopeless all through Jesus Christ. And so, your definition of faith matters. And what you place your faith in matters. That's the thrust of Article 22 of the Belgic Confession that we read. It's the thrust of Romans 3 and 4. And I want to look in detail at Romans chapter 3, specifically zeroing in on verses 21 through 26 tonight. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 starts this way. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. What we're looking at is, what is the content of our faith? What is our faith in? That's what we're trying to ask and answer as we look at these verses. So as we enter this passage, we have to ask, what do we think of this word righteousness? Sometimes we view that word as describing maybe a set of behaviors. We would think someone is righteous if they do good things. Maybe you think of it like the way I think of my to-do list. I'm notorious for carrying around yellow legal pads wherever I go. I make these lists, different things for me to check off during the day. And at the end of the day, if I've checked off everything on my list or most of the things on my list, I will consider it a successful day. Now, it's possible for us to think about righteousness that way, to think God has given us a yellow legal pad full of things to do. And if I check off all or most of those things, then I'm righteous. But then it becomes confusing when Paul and others talk about God being righteous. Does that mean that God has a list of things that he has to do to remain God? Then it becomes a standard that's outside of God, a standard that's above God, and that's very problematic. Paul is saying that righteousness comes from God. Righteousness is about being in sync with God. So in verse 21, righteousness of God is God being in sync with himself. So in verse 21, Paul says at the end, the law and the prophets bear witness to this righteousness of God. Paul has a very positive view of the law of God, and so should we. Because the law bears witness to righteousness. The law is a picture of what it looks like to live life in sync with God. The law is not a yellow legal pad handed down from heaven, like here's an arbitrary list of things to do. The law was and is a beautiful thing. It's God saying, do this and live. This is the way to live, to thrive, to have life abundant, to flourish, to live fully. And it works that way because the law reflects God's own righteousness. God's righteousness is not a standard that God has to live up to. His righteousness is him being in sync with himself. It's his trueness, his consistency, it's his beauty, his goodness, it's his promise-keeping nature. The law shows us that good character of God and how we were created to live in sync with that character. But if you read through the book of Romans, we're kind of entering into the middle of the discussion. You realize that Paul has spent the last three chapters coming to a conclusion. That conclusion is summarized in chapter 3, verse 10. None is righteous, no, not one. Or Romans 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Even if we do things that on the outside look good, maybe things that on the outside can check a box or cross something off a list. Maybe we externally follow the law. Even those things we do are twisted and corrupted by our mixed motivations, by our selfish attitudes, by our consuming pride. What Paul is saying is that none of us are righteous. None of us are living in sync with God. But verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Paul is saying that something new has happened. Something has been revealed. Verse 22, righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. God's righteousness, we saw, means that he is consistent. He's in sync with himself. He's good. He's beautiful. He's true. He's just. He's holy. And he's also compassionate. The love that he poured into this world when he made it has not disappeared. God isn't an inconsistent lover like human beings are. His love for this world, his love for his image-bearing human beings kept on going even when we plunged this creation into the curse that sin brought. We are inconsistent, but God remains consistent. He remains righteous. He remains true. As Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, when we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God's love, his wisdom, his faithfulness, his goodness, his justice, his righteousness made a way. We have fallen short of what we were created to be, and we can't work our way back there. We can't fix ourselves. We can't set ourselves right. Human beings, it's not that we just need to be picked up and dusted off and set on our way and everything is okay. We need something far more radical than that. We need the rescue, the redemption that was planned by God and manifested or revealed in Jesus Christ. We need, verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. There's no distinction, Paul says. This is a Jew thing or a Gentile thing. This is a human thing because all of us have fallen short. We all need this message. What we need, verse 24, is to be justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Our justification flows from the righteousness of God. It is him making us righteous. It's him setting us right. We were made to be righteous. We were made to live in sync with God, reflecting his image into this creation. But we've twisted and marred and cursed that image, and we can't live in sync with God. But again, when we are faithless, he remains faithful. In his righteousness, he has justified us. He has brought us back to himself. He has set us right. And we're told in verse 24 that this is by grace as a gift. We don't earn this. We don't contribute to this. This is God's redemption plan, and it's been revealed and accomplished in Jesus Christ. Verse 25, we see that word that we talked about last week. Jesus is the propitiation. Jesus dealt with our sins so that we could draw near. The sin that separated us from God is removed. Jesus paid the price. The wrath that condemned us is removed. Jesus bore it for us. Jesus is a successful Savior who accomplished everything he set out to do. When he said, "It is finished," on the cross, he meant it, that the work was done. We are justified. We are set right in Jesus. The Belgic Confession says that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. His obedience, his perfect record is given to us. Jesus lived a perfectly righteous life. He was fully in sync with God, fully obedient to God, fully submissive to the will of God, even willingly going along with the plan when it ended in his death on our behalf. Romans 3, verse 26, said that this was to show God's righteousness, that he could be both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now in Greek, it doesn't show this in English, but in Greek, all those words are three different versions of the same word, righteousness, just, and justifier. They're all versions of the same word. This is all part of God being who he is. It's his righteousness. That is, he's consistently good, holy, loving, wise, and true. It's his justice. He is just in dealing with our sins, but he's also the justifier in setting us right, making us righteous, drawing us back to himself through Christ. This is God's consistent and beautiful plan of redemption revealed in Jesus Christ. Now, verse 25 says that we receive this gift by faith. And that returns us to where we began. What is faith? What is the Christian faith? I hope that we can see that faith is not a feeling. Faith is not the ability to exercise trust in something or in anything. Faith is not an experience on the do-it-yourself spiritual journey. It's not working yourself up into some emotional state. Faith is certainly not a scented candle. Faith is latching on to this good news, specifically this glorious news of a faithful and righteous God who brings redemption through Jesus Christ. Verse 21 says that this news has been manifested, it's been revealed. We don't find this ourselves. We don't work our way up to it. We don't discover it. It is, verse 24, given to us as a gift by grace. We don't earn it. It's God's work. So according to this passage, what is faith? Let me give you my favorite definition. It's an old definition, but it's the best one. Faith is a firm and certain knowledge of God's compassion towards us, founded upon the promise given in Christ, worked in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Faith is our response to this news of Jesus Christ, to this promise of grace, to this message of God's compassion. It's not something we do. It's not an ability that lies within us. It's not the fervor that we whip up. It's the response to the gospel, to this gospel. A response we can only have when the Holy Spirit is at work in us. It's believing that this good news is true, believing that this good news is for us, and walking joyfully forward in the light of that news. Faith is responding to the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news that we need every day. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. I gave you John Calvin's definition of faith. In a moment, we're going to sing another definition of faith in the hymn, Rock of Ages. This is what faith is. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Faith is the empty hand, realizing that we bring nothing to our salvation, but that God gives us this gift of grace. Jesus accomplished our salvation. Jesus paid it all. That's the good news we need. Embrace him. He has set us right. He has brought God's grace. He has manifested God's righteousness. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we praise you for your righteousness shown in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have revealed your righteousness to us in him, that even when we were faithless, you remained faithful in your love, in your compassion, in your beauty, in your holiness. Our Father, we pray now that you would, by your Holy Spirit, teach us to respond in faith and live righteous lives, lives that are lived in sync with you, lives that are lived as you intended us to live. Our Father, we pray that we would go forward in the light of this grace, walking by faith, not by sight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn together.